And now, the hosts of Surge Baseball and Beyond, Cookie Rojas and Tim Grubbs.
Hey fans, welcome to another episode of Surge Baseball and Beyond. This is episode 9 of the podcast. I'm here at the Riverfront Stadium Emprise Bank Pavilion, joined by the voice of the Wichita Wind Surge, Mr. Tim Grubbs. How's it going, Tim?
It's going great. You know, I'm glad to be at the ballpark. I love when I look at the field. And
it is cloudy, but it's not raining.
It's not raining. It did rain a little bit.
It did rain a little bit earlier.
And I think the forecast has rain coming here shortly. Exactly. And if you're wondering why we're talking about that, every time we record, it's been like 4 or 5 times in a row now. It's raining. And it doesn't rain that much here.
What are the odds? I don't know. So we're back at the stadium, and I think our wives dressed us today because we both have Marlins
we're
gear
both decked
on.
Out in Marlins gear.
Exactly. And I have a combination of the new logo and hopefully they don't hear this, but the older logo.
Right.
And we're sitting here at the Emprise Bank Club, and I'm starving, so let's talk food.
Yeah, well, that's what this podcast is kind of about.
It is.
So we figured we would, since we talked to Randy Robinson,
yes,
who's the director of food
and
here at the ballpark.
Yeah, exactly.
We figured we would talk our favorite ballpark foods.
Now, you have been to more ballparks than I have. You've worked in different classifications,
right,
as well. I've worked in 2 different leagues. So when you get to a ballpark, being in the booth, some ballparks, I'm sure, have some really good food for the media upstairs.
Right.
Do you ever get a chance to wander downstairs and grab something to eat?
And that's, for the most part, when people ask me how much – there are ballparks I probably have not eaten in, even
oh,
though
really?
I've been
wow.
to how many.
Wow.
Because if you have a good press box spread,
right,
I'm just going to take the free food.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, why? Yeah, exactly. Why?
But if I ever read – you know, Ben Hill, who writes an article on minor league baseball.
I follow him on Twitter.
He writes an article on minorleaguebaseball.com, and I follow him on social media. A lot of times I'll see what he writes, and if he talks about a specific food item at a certain ballpark, I will go out of my way to probably pay for it. You'll go to the concession stand and buy
yeah.
it. And then there are situations where the food that's in the press box, not that it's not good, but it might not be what I want.
Right.
And that's when I'll venture down
right.
to the concessions and yeah. buy something. But and then there are many other websites that talk about different food.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll be like, oh, I got to try it. You know, Albuquerque has the green chili cheeseburger.
Oh, okay.
So we had a 1 o'clock game there a couple years ago. They served breakfast in the press box.
Nice.
Well, I had been up for a while, so I was like, I already ate breakfast. I don't want to eat breakfast again. Golden opportunity to go eat the green chili cheeseburger. It's pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably not my favorite food, but so I have ventured out. One of the Ben Hill articles that
yes.
came out was the hot dog served on a grilled cheese sandwich
Ooh.
In Round Rock.
That sounds good.
So
yeah.
it's a grilled cheese. It's, you know, the normal white thin bread, you know, not real thin. And then there's a toothpick that goes through the sandwich. So the grilled cheese is the bun.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
And then it's a nice Nolan Ryan hot dog, you know, plump
yeah.
beef, all beef hot dog. And I'm a hot dog guy. I work in baseball. So
it's true.
It's good. I actually
it's
bought
true.
That,
That's
you know,
true.
So, but yeah. I'm probably my favorite because, but I've, it's probably the barbecue nachos
huh.
at Memphis. You know,
oh,
it's,
that's your...
the barbecue is Rendezvous, which is a restaurant
oh, yeah.
that's
yeah.
right across the ballpark. It has great ribs. I mean, I go to that restaurant almost every time I
wow.
go to Memphis. So the fact that they have those nachos and it's the pulled pork and it's the spices and the seasoning, it's perfect.
You have got me so hungry right now. I'm telling you, I had breakfast this morning, but I am famished even more so right now. But for me... I've been to a few parks, you know, major league, minor league, but I mean, for me, really, I think the best thing that I think I've had is in Lehigh Valley. They had, and I don't know if they still do, but they had a huge turkey leg that it was just a stand out in left field, and you could go to, and I don't know what it is, and it's just a massive, and it's just grilled perfectly, broiled, just fantastic, and that was my favorite thing, and then. Being from, you know, being a Red Sox fan, going up to Fenway Park, it's, I don't know if it's necessarily ballpark food, but it's an automatic when you go into Yawkey Way, they block off the street
right.
and It's the sausage and peppers.
Yeah. When they're grilling it up like that.
It is fantastic.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that has got to be my go-to. It's a must-have for myself and anyone that I'm with. We got to have one when we go up there.
Yeah.
And that's my ballpark food right there. So.
No, and there's some stadiums. Reno in our league has – the press box is on the same level as the seats.
Oh, okay.
And so behind you, they've got the grills –
must be going,
you know, where
in,
the guys are just
smells.
Grilling it up, oh, and you geez. Get all the smells, and
yeah.
you know, that's a place that I always, yep, I'm gonna yeah. get something
you
from
gotta
that
get
grill
because yeah.
of the aroma, and yeah. you know, some of the major league stadiums I've been to, it's the same way,
yeah,
you know, where it's just like you gotta have that,
yeah, absolutely,
you know, and
it's
there's
a must.
So much good food.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's an experience. It's it really is. When we talk to Randy later on, it really is. It's all your senses being
right.
fulfilled. So look forward to hearing about all the different food here at the ballpark. And
yeah, he kind of keeps us. He doesn't get into a lot of the
not
details.
Not the specifics, no.
But he
no.
talks about the business and what goes on behind the scenes and all
yeah.
that stuff. But
and a crazy history. Like
yeah.
a career that he's had. That's,
right.
Yeah, all different places that he worked at.
Yeah,
though.
No,
so
I mean, the fact that he worked at Lambeau Field and
Kentucky Derby.
Kentucky
and
Derbys,
yeah, exactly.
NASCAR races.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's worked almost every sport.
Yep. Hockey.
You know, hockey. And
baseball.
He did
football.
Do minor league baseball, you yep. know, outside of D.C. at a single A team yep. and all that sort of stuff. So it's a great story, and
it
we
is.
Got that coming. But, you know, I mean, it just – when I go to the ballpark, I mean, the one thing I really, really enjoy is
yeah.
the smell. You know, you see the fresh cut grass, and, you know, and it's one of those things I'm really missing
and I really,
this
I,
summer.
The thing that I like is when you go to a place and you find something that's unique to that particular city, be it the food or the beer.
Right.
That's a big thing. I mean, no offense to our big partners, the big beers. You know, they're refreshing, but something about a local brew. You know
right.
what I mean? Complementing some sort of local dish.
Yeah, when you go to a certain place, whether, you know, I mean, you go to Philadelphia, you're going to have a cheesesteak.
Right.
And you go to certain places, and if they have a certain craft brewer, you know, one of the things with Colorado being in our league back in the day, Colorado Springs, they have so many craft breweries out there.
Unbelievable.
That was the first thing I always did is when we went to a restaurant or a bar, what should I get?
What's your local?
And I
yeah.
would usually get one local, and then I switched to
yeah,
our
sure.
national
absolutely.
Ones.
Yeah. Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
You but I always get the little
the
taste.
Yeah.
You know, in Portland, when they were in our league too, Portland is a lot of – those – Portland and Colorado Springs – and Colorado, I shouldn't say, not Colorado Springs – we're way ahead, I feel like, the rest of the country.
On the brew scene.
When it come to brews.
Yeah.
When it came to craft brewery. And just different foods. You know, when you go to – like I told you, Memphis before, they're known for their ribs. I know Kansas City is too. But, you know, I mean, that when you go there, that's barbecue. That's what you eat. When you go to Round Rock, Texas, you know, that's a different type of barbecue.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
– well. I'm going to go grab something to eat. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no.
I'm starving.
And hopefully we are making everybody hungry, but finish the rest of the podcast because we're going to talk
absolutely.
More food.
You got it. All right, Tim, thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great.
And fans, we're joined today. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Tim Grubbs. But we have a special guest today. We have our director of food and beverage, Mr. Randy Robinson. Randy, how are you?
Very good. Very good. How are you, Cookie?
I'm doing as well as I can. We were talking in pre-production how when Tim and I record our podcast, we're recording on Tuesday, it is once again raining. So we've got this would not have been good if we were starting a homestand today. Hopefully it clears up and gets a little nicer. But you were telling us that you're currently in Wisconsin, and that's where you've been during this whole pandemic situation. And yesterday it actually got warm.
It did. I got to take the kids outside. We did some grilling, grilled up some wings. It was nice. It was a good week break. That's for sure.
It's always good to hear our food and beverage talking, director talking about food and grilling.
But we
want to know a little bit more about you, Randy. I mean, we are all from different parts of the country. We're coming together here in the middle of America to build a brand new franchise here for folks. And it's interesting because we all come from different perspectives, too. Randy, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're originally from Wisconsin. Is that correct?
I am. I was actually born right down the road at Great Lakes Naval Base in Waukegan, Illinois. And my mom and my sister and I moved up from there. And we lived in Milwaukee for the first 15 years of my life. I have been kind of a traveling show pretty much my whole life. Honestly, I felt like I grew up in the military, even though the only military I grew up in was just the first year of my life, because my birth father was in the Navy. So we were in Waukegan. But so I started here, and I moved down, graduated high school in Auburn, Alabama, and I started this kind of crazy career doing food and beverage in sporting venues. I got really lucky. A friend of mine, through another endeavor, kind of turned me on to going to work at the football stadium. And I thought, well, that's the weirdest job I've ever heard of. Like, what do you actually do? You know,
at Auburn.
Yeah. It was at Auburn University. Wow. And so the first 4 days that I worked about 60 hours. And I thought to myself, as I was walking into my first football game, which was, you guys are sports guys. So 1993, Auburn was on TV probation. They couldn't even be on TV. So it's my first home game, and I'm walking into this building at about 9 o'clock in the morning for a 6 o'clock start. And I'm thinking to myself, this has got to be the craziest thing I've ever done in my life. I've never worked this hard in 4 days. I could just go home. Nobody would ever think anything less of me. Like, what am I doing? You know? So I said, you know what? I was actually parked. My grandfather was a professor at Auburn University, and I actually parked right outside of his office. And I looked into his window, and I thought to myself, this is a bad idea. You can't just walk away. So let's go do this. And I went in, and everything was crazy, and I was exhausted. And all of a sudden, the gates opened, and a football game started to fill up. And the craziest thing, as you guys well know, and I well know now, this crazy thing happened, and it took over. It was like, wow, I'm getting paid to do this. You know, I'm at a football game. I'm selling hot dogs and sodas, and we're doing everything we can just to keep that 85 to 90,000 people at least moderately happy. and we did it, you know, and all of a sudden it's 26 years later. I've worked in some really cool venues. I spent a couple of years at Lambeau Field. I've done a couple Kentucky Derbies. I did some NASCAR. I've done some NBA. I've kind of been across the board, really and truthfully, and kind of where I was, because it's so much fun to see the different sports. You know, I'm not a hockey fan, but I love working hockey games because they're different. It's a different flow than an NBA game or a minor league baseball is different than major league baseball, even just the way that the games play out. And it's so cool. And I've gotten a chance for 26 years to do this, and I'm bringing me right to right now where we are in Wichita. I'm not only excited for kind of what Wichita is, because I am a college baseball guy at heart. And I remember the Shockers being absolutely amazing in the mid 90s when I was watching, really getting into college baseball, and seeing that area. I'm so excited to see that. And I'm so excited to see what kind of food we can do inside of our ballpark, which is really going to be top notch. So that's kind of a brief walkthrough. You know, if you ever want to dive further, I've got some fun stories from Lambeau. I've got some really fun Kentucky Derby stories, and some of them are okay for radio.
So who did you, when you went to go work at your, when you first started, as you were talking about, at Auburn, I think, I'm not mistaken, in the 90s, it was Terry Bowden, I think, was the head coach at the time.
It was.
When you were there, were you working as a university student, or was it as an employee of a vendor, or how did that play out? Because I'm really curious in terms of your career, because like you said, you've done so many different things. So I'd like to figure out how did those transitions happen for you?
Well, it was actually a small company, and it's the craziest thing too, because when you look at large collegiate athletics, you think, oh, well, they've had, you know, large operations running their food and beverage for years, you know, but actually only 25 years ago, there were still mom and pop locations that were running these. And ours was called Midland Foods. And we were, our claim to fame was Mud Island in Memphis, and the Liberty Bowl in Memphis and Auburn University. I mean, like, wow. Those two small things and then this huge thing. And that company actually ran, we ran all the food and beverage for all of the sporting events. So no matter what we were playing, we were there. We were selling hot dogs at it. That was actually one of my first experiences ever in concessions, was inside the old red Coke trailer, selling fountain sodas and pre-cooked hot dogs. It was something.
So from there, when you were in school and then you transitioned, what was the next gig? Like, what did you go work for one of those larger companies?
I did. Yeah. I did. I actually went to Sodexo. At the time, it was Sodexo Marriott. And that was actually a transition that happened while I was at Auburn. Midland Foods lost the contract, and Sodexo Marriott came in and took the contract over. And a lot of it was because of the, and when you see a lot of these things, a lot of it turns into, it's Sodexo Marriott had the almost, in Auburn's eyes, unlimited capital to now make improvements. I mean, the things that I saw in just 12 months that changed because of the name, because when you put Sodexo Marriott into it, it turned into this monster now. Now it really was. We were doing, you know, $325,000 a football game in total game sales. And within a year, we were doing about $465,000. Because of price increases, capacity, abilities, things that we got to be able to do because of Sodexo. And I got the opportunity. At that time, I was still, I was an assistant to the assistant concessions guy. So I was getting there, you know, I knew what was going on. I'd been there about 6 years by that point. And I got an opportunity to go up to Georgia Tech. And I realized that I went from an old football stadium that held a lot of people to a absolutely ancient football stadium that held not a lot of people. And I was running 200, 300 foot of extension cord to sell hot dogs out of anywhere on one side of the stadium. Because as Bobby Dodd Stadium at Georgia Tech is the oldest on-campus football facility, and it shows everywhere. It's just, well, it's madness.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. I worked for a short period of time in my career at Brown University, and let me tell you, that stadium is up there. So, and I feel for the people who do the concessions and how to gerrymander and fix this and hook that up and do all that kind of stuff just to serve the folks that go to those events. So.
Well, the fun part about that too is that it taught me a little bit, you know, because I went from these kind of two old buildings, right? And Bobby Dodd being as old as it was, Auburn being as old as it was, they really kind of, you learn that an old building knows how it needs to be massaged, and it reacts well if you do the things that you need to it. A new building is this fascinating, wonderful experience of what's going to break next. You know, what's the weird thing that's going to happen that you've never had happen because it's never happened here.
Right.
Having things that have happened there before and having that repetition creates a little bit of more stability. It's a fun dynamic that you see inside of, inside of athletics, from what I've seen. So
that's interesting. Well, Randy, I guess I'll jump in. You've worked a lot of different sports. I know they sell concession stands are similar food wise, hot dogs, brats, nachos, pizza. How different is it, like NASCAR to football, to college football, to the NFL, to minor league baseball, you know, with the different types of foods?
You know, Tim, that's a great question because it's funny because it's the same. The things all happen kind of the same. The food is a little bit different when you go, when you get a little bit further south where the baby cakes came from, and you get down into Louisiana, food changes down there because you can't open a facility without jambalaya. You just don't do a whole lot of thought, you know, into some of those things. But what I think is the most fascinating is what's changed over the past 26 years in understanding what was concessions and what is now. Concessions 26 years ago was a hot dog and a soda, as cold as you could get the soda and as hot as you can get the hot dog. We'll figure out whether the hot dog's good or not later. And we're going to wrap it in some aluminum foil bag and we're going to throw it at you as fast as you can. Mm. Now food has changed to where everybody's an Instagram food professional. You know, everybody's got a picture on, you know, I took pictures of dinner yesterday and posted them up. You saw them on Facebook, you know.
Yeah, true.
I did that yesterday, and everybody does that now. So now when people go to a experience, they expect to be able to see that food. I think that's been the thing that's really challenged and pushed our industry, is the fact that the old hot dog just isn't good enough. Now, don't get it wrong. You have to have it. It doesn't go away. That old hot dog's got to be there, but it's got to be good. It's got to be open-faced. It's got to be served in a way to where it's not your typical wrapped up in an aluminum bag and thrown at you type hot dog. And
yeah, no, I mean, I get it. I take pictures of food and, you know, I post it and I see your stuff. I saw you mixed up some homemade ice cream.
Yeah, that was fun. Wow. We had some fun. You know, my wife looks at me and she says, why are you having questions about the ice cream thing? Because I actually was. I was having issues with the ice cream thing. And I looked at her. I was like, because I have a big machine I dump all this into and it comes out ice cream. You know, I don't sit here with a little bucket of some ice. So like, this whole thing is foreign to me. Where's my big machine?
I know presentation is big. I know I showed you a picture. I went to the new Las Vegas Aviators ballpark last summer, you know, with my travels with New Orleans and AAA baseball. Yeah. And they, on the cheeseburger, they had grilled in the logo of the stadium on the bun. And yeah, I just thought that was just like, that was the perfect presentation. Of course, before I took a bite, I had to take a picture and, you know, post it and, you know, and it got a lot of comments and it lived up to the hype. It was good. Wow. What are the types of creativity? I know we're in pause mode, you know, but that you guys thought about doing here in Wichita now that you're in another brand new building and, you know, have a lot of tricks up your sleeve.
Well, I think some of them I like to kind of keep, you know, in our development of what we looked at our menu. I think one of the first things that we had to accomplish, and there was really no way around it, is make sure that what we've said becomes reality. You know, Lou has said many times, and I fully believe him when he says it, is that our sport needs to be affordable to the every fan. And that means that we've got to do that work on our side, on the front side, before we even really get into what the items are. Because at the end of the day, one of the things that I've always really relied on is I love being able to brand items and take what's ours and really share it with the community and say, this is something that you can only get here. This is through partners that we have and things that we've done. There's going to be beverages that we were the first place that's serving these live and really putting a lot of concerted effort into serving it and making sure people know about it. So I would say the thing that I want people to know about our establishment before they even walk into it is that our quality across the board is going to be better than what you expect. I've made a living, as we talked about, for the past few minutes off of unexpected food and unexpected places. That brand on that burger, when you showed it to me, it looks phenomenal. And I think we're gonna look at doing some stuff like that. Sorry about that. But we're definitely gonna look at doing some things like that. What can we do to create the take home vibe? The thing that never leaves you, that makes you want to come back for our food, you know, and how are we gonna, which is fun right now, how are we gonna bridge this gap? Because I think the community of Wichita needs us as much as we need the community of Wichita, and there's going to be some opportunities. And for me to give you the most long-winded, non-committal answer possible, we're going to have some amazing things. We've got an amazing team right now. Cookie and I have worked tirelessly to try and make sure that these events that we've talked about prior to actually show up so we can do it and we can really put ourselves on showcase. But I think we've got some surprises, and your basic things are going to be better than what you've ever expected out of your basic things. And then you're going to see something that I hope really blows you away as far as what we were able to create as far as an overall experience.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, Cookie and I are fortunate enough. We were actually in your guys' test kitchen, I guess a couple of weeks, you know, before this all went down. So we got to see some of what you guys had going on. That was, of course, before you could get into the ballpark. Here's an outside the wall question. You're really on the business side, Nick, mm-hmm. as being the director of food and beverage. Obviously, you have a chef in Chef Chris, and you got Lori who handles hospitality and everyone down the line. At what point did you become like a good cook? Because obviously I see your stuff on social media. Like, you didn't have any, did you have any like professional chef? Did you go to any cooking schools or anything?
I did
or
not.
Or is this just something you learned on the fly?
I did. I started, before I got into sports cooking, I was actually a 24-hour diner cook.
Oh, wow.
Which you think to yourself that, well, how does that turn you into a good cook? Those guys are awful.
I'm a Waffle House guy.
Yeah, bite your tongue.
It actually is the God honest training ground of where you learn all the basic things of how to use the equipment and how to be around the equipment. And I see and I watch a lot of the times, and you get into these wonderful positions to where you don't actually have to do those tasks anymore, and you can watch it. One of the things that I think that taught me the most was never be afraid of the equipment, ever. If you're afraid of the equipment, get out of the kitchen, because there's so much in there, even in just your home kitchen, there's so much in there that can hurt you very severely, that if you're afraid of it, get away from it. You know, just that's kind of my motto in life. You know, if you're intimidated by it, you need to step away from it until you can master that. And I learned that at a 24-hour diner, because not only did I have that cooking equipment that close to me, I also had guests that were like 2.5 feet behind me, and you're in a college town, and we had some fun experiences.
I'm sure you did.
We had some fun nights.
At odd hours, probably.
Yeah. I loved, this will show you a little bit of insight into my crazy. I loved the third shift.
That's a hard pass for me, my friend.
It is. It's where all my people come out. All the weirdos like me.
Let's educate our fans a little bit. You know, as Tim mentioned, we're in a pause mode right now. But in terms of the stadium itself, it's how is it laid out for the food and beverage? How many kitchens do you have? How many people? How many concession stands? What are some of the unique things that we can expect in terms of one of the concession stands. And how many people do you expect to have working at a game for like a sold out game?
Oh, geez. You know, let's start there. We were somewhere in the neighborhood of about 164 people. I would say that's a sold out game that doesn't go too wild. I would say 200 is like right in our sweet spot for a completely maxed out and absolutely raucous, nice Friday night game. With that, we have some, I think, in our general concessions, and that's where I cut my teeth. And I think that one of the things that I love to bring along is Andrew Berg, our concessions manager. His upbringing is very similar to mine. We're both concessions, and we make jokes all the time that concessions pays the bills for the rest of the building, because it really does. And in that, our concessions, we've got five total concessions locations, all of them having their own individual concepts. We have our cheese and freeze pizza. We have our grill concept stand. But then we also jumped into an interesting relationship where we own a Freddy's franchise, and they're going to be in our home plate location, and it's a Freddy's. You're going to get a pared down Freddy's menu. Obviously, we're inside of a baseball park, so we won't go full out this year. But as we move forward, we're looking to expand that menu too. Wow. But really, that relationship and put together by some really smart people above all of our pay grade, that arrangement is going to be something that is so unique and so cool to the Wichita area because of where Freddy's is from. Being Freddy's is started and was raised in Wichita, and being that we are restarting and rebirthing ourselves in Wichita with them, that this is going to be so huge. It really is. And then we have our built-in food plus hospitality areas where you get a ticket plus food. And that starts with our picnic area that holds roughly 450 to 500 people. We're going to be able to do some amazing, as Cookie, you and I well know, that's been on our radar for quite a while now. And that area is going to be so cool. Got a full outdoor grill, full outdoor beverage setups. It's really, really cool. That whole setup there, we've got the Emprise Pavilion that is also an inclusive package where food and beverage comes with your ticket to the game. It's going to be one of those areas that for me, I think you're going to be able to really see the marriage point of the park and the city, the view out into Wichita from that Emprise Pavilion, and then the view back into the baseball park is spectacular when you look at it. I mean, you guys have had a great chance. Sadly, you guys have seen my kitchens, all eight of them.
I've been blown away. The number of kitchens in this facility is impressive.
Well, everywhere you go, we've got an opportunity to cook for you.
It's amazing. Right. Yeah. I mean, you got the large one in the main, out in, I don't know where you would call it, I guess behind.
Behind like third base, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
You've got that it one is. Over there. Then you've got the other one that you have in the main building, the main offices. That's another large kitchen in there that I walked in for the first time the other day. Plus, you got these pantry locations, and you know, you got the outside areas as you mentioned. You also have another kitchen in the Fidelity Club.
We do. Fidelity
Club, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a really cool and well thought out plan, because of sometimes you need kitchens to feed other kitchens. You know, it's a very interesting dichotomy that you walk into in sports venues. And anytime you take on feeding 10,000 people, you're going to need a lot of space to be able to do that. Especially when you start really dialing into a menu that is very diverse across those areas, because of food safety, because of what you really need to do to be able to keep things separate in that world, you almost have to. And you see a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of places in which food and beverage was really not necessarily the last thing, but pretty close to the last thing on the list. Got a couple key positions, and then everything else is kind of stuffed into the corners. Whereas food and beverage really takes a front and center role in the building. It's visible from everywhere you walk in. And I think it's cool. Our main kitchen downstairs is one of the nicest professional kitchens I've been able to walk into. And I've walked into some really amazing kitchens. You know, when I walked into Lambeau Field's kitchen when I was 27 years old and I was still very young in doing this, I thought I would never see anything like that again in my life. You know, this is the pinnacle. I'm done now, you know, and I 15 years later, I look at Wichita's kitchen and I think, man, this is a minor league baseball park. This is not Lambeau Field. You know, Lambeau Field deserves a kitchen that knocks your socks off, you know. Mm-hmm. Wichita got a kitchen that knocks your socks off and is so unexpected because there's so many other places that just don't have it. And then the raw size of what our concessions operation can do, I think is going to be really cool. One place that I know the three of us will frequent will be our left field bar, where we're going to have one of the coolest features, I think, in the park, and that's the pour your own beer feature. That's one of the things that I'll give our and your very avid listeners the download. That's going to be cool. We're only going to do craft, really quality beer out of that pour your own, so we can make that experience what it needs to be. But it's going to be cool being able to sit out there on it. If my day here in Wisconsin could be in Wichita, it's 82 degrees today and sunny all day long. If that was in Wichita and we were playing baseball right now, that's where I'd be having a beer. Absolutely. It's
gonna be I was actually in that bar, what's it, 2 weeks ago? Just, you know, I was at the ballpark and I like the theme of it, the actual bar itself. Really cool. I don't want to give away too much for people who haven't been in there, but it's pretty neat. Man, on the aviation theme and all of that sort of stuff and how it looks. But Cookie, I don't know if you have anything else. Randy, I don't know if you have anything else you want to add, but this was great, educational, you know, kind of getting behind the scenes of, you know, how the food and beverage part of our ballpark will work. Obviously, we'll be more than just a baseball ballpark. You know, obviously, we're going to have more events. I think you and Cookie mentioned about the different weddings and different functions that could be held at the stadium. And I think it's going to be a great place and can't wait to get this thing opened up.
Well, guys, I can't thank you guys enough, first of all, for having me on and doing this. I think it's great to get the chance to be able to brag about what our building is going to be, because we just haven't been able to show people yet, you know. And like we talked about a little bit earlier, we're supposed to be showing you tonight how amazing we are, and we can't wait to get out and be able to do that as a team. I talk to my team every week and it's always the same conversation. Let's make sure when we get the opportunity to do this, and as Cookie and I have been working on with special events and making sure that we can get into the facility and start showcasing it. With that, we got to be ready to roll, and we can definitely say to everybody that's out there, we're ready to go. We're ready to make this thing happen and really get out and start making some amazing food and start eating some amazing food again together as a group, you know, and instead of doing it all at our home, taking pictures of it, let's take some pictures of a group doing it together. And I can't wait to get out and do that, and definitely reach out to us if there's anything, any way that we can help as a department. So guys, it was a pleasure. It was an absolute pleasure.
No, this was great. Randy, appreciate you spending some time with us. And Randy, thank you. Can't wait to be all together. You summed it up best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Randy, real quick, where can folks find you and some of your cool pictures on social media?
You can find me at Randy Robinson on Facebook. I don't even give out my my Twitter or my Instagram because nobody ever asks for it. So I don't even know if I know my name.
Well, I don't know if you post. I don't know if you post any on Instagram, but whatchamacallit on Twitter. But we could put it in the show notes, probably. All right.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
Well, and we can absolutely. Once you get to the ballpark, all your guys' great creations will be on all the WinSurge social media sites.
Oh, right. So yeah, that's right. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, fans can definitely check that out.
That I will say that's where those videos are going to change a little bit. That's what we've been looking for. Myself and Bobby Moe have been trying to do is take those from my kitchen here at home to our kitchen there at the park. And I'll tell you what, the thing that's going to be cool is I can make some cool food here at the house and it looks okay. And I feel like it looks all right. I'm pretty critical of everything that goes out because I don't feel like it looks absolutely perfect. But when we get into those kitchens, the thing that you're going to be able to see is what the difference an industrial professional kitchen will do as compared to what you can do at home. So I can't wait to show that. So it's going to be awesome.
Well, thanks again, Randy. Appreciate it. And look forward to being as we're all together here soon enough.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a great afternoon.
You too.
Surge up.
Our thanks once again to Randy Robinson for joining us on this edition of Surge Baseball and Beyond. As always, we want to thank everyone for tuning in. If you have questions, please send them on to our social media accounts, WinSurgeICT, or my co-host, The Cookie Rojas, or myself, Mr. Tim Grubbs. We appreciate you liking our podcast, telling others, be safe and healthy, and we're looking forward to our next edition of Surge Baseball and Beyond.